Hi, I'm Roxanne Grinstead, author and illustrator of The Wildflowers of Holden and one of the founders of the Holden Wildflower Garden Society. First of all, I want to thank the Audubon Society for donating bird slides and Rick Dunning for donating animal slides. I first came to Holden in 1970. I can still remember so clearly my nature walks with Gertrude Lundholm. She began to teach me about the amazingly beautiful flora and fauna that makes this spot in creation so unique. And when I first hiked the trails and saw the alpine meadows, I was captivated by their beauty. I couldn't wait to sketch, paint, and photograph what I saw. And when I began to understand how the geography, weather, plants, animals, and insects work together in perfect harmony, I knew I was seeing the very hand of our Creator God. A few years ago, during my visits, I noticed that the wildflowers I'd seen in Holden's gardens were becoming fewer and fewer as more aggressive non-native plants choked them out. I'd already begun to grow wildflowers in my own yard. And I thought, why couldn't our beautiful native wildflowers be grown right here at Holden in our gardens? That way, people who couldn't hike or were just beginning to learn about them could start right here at coffee break or after sessions to learn about our wildflowers. I shared my idea with Carol Reed, and in 1996, we formed the Holden Wildflower Garden Society to promote the growth and restoration of native plants to Holden's gardens and educate all who visit Holden in wilderness, ethics, and botany. We decided, for now, there'd be no membership lists or cards because we needed to use all our efforts to bring back our wildflowers. You are welcome to join our membership. To be a lifetime member, just learn about native plants and flowers like you are right now, or volunteer to help in the gardens while you're here, or make a donation to Holden Village. Holden is always in need of gardening tools and supplies, and we'd be delighted to use any that you would choose to donate. So, let's take a walk around the village and get started learning our wildflowers. You might want to bring a camera along. Flower, bird, and butterfly watching is becoming a passion with more and more people. Come along with me to the Chalet 2 garden. Look, there's a snowshoe hare. You often see them here near the chalets. They're white in the winter, and just as the snow melts, their fur begins to turn brown for the summer. There is a fence around the Chalet 2 garden to keep the squirrels, deer, and the hares out, but you're welcome to come any time. Just remember to shut the gate. After Chalet 2 burned down, our director suggested that this might make a nice, quiet garden spot away from village activities. Also, it's become our outdoor lab and nursery for propagating our own wildflowers. We have over 20 species growing here now. This is our native crimson columbine. You can see it in moist, shady places on wilderness trails. Hummingbirds, like our native rufous hummingbird, love its bright color and sweet nectar. With their energy needs, hummingbirds require a lot of food. Another flower that loves cool, moist places is Western Bleeding Heart. Its heart-shaped pink blossoms cascade down over its beautiful, lacy foliage. If you're lucky, you'll see it in the wilderness by streams. Yellow stream violets are easy to spot with their heart-shaped leaves and cheerful yellow flowers in the spring. Trillium is the queen of the shady forest. Her broad leaves are designed to catch whatever light is available on the forest floor. The pure white flowers age to deep pink. Most everywhere you look at Holden, you'll see starry Solomon seal. This tough little plant has beautiful white flowers in the spring. King Solomon's royal seal was a six-pointed star. Starry Solomon seal has a big brother, Western Solomon seal, which is called false Solomon seal in the east. Once you see this large, majestic plant in bloom, you will never forget it. Its beautiful plume of white flowers fills the garden with fragrance. You'll see it in moist places by streams on Holden's trails. Look closely at the ground for a mat of shiny green leaves. Look even closer, and you might see the tiny pink twin flowers, also called Linnea. Twin flower is named after the Swedish botanist Linnaeus. It was his favorite flower. Linnaeus is considered father of systematic botany. Because of him, plants and flowers have a universal scientific name. Campanula rotundifolia has many common names. Bluebell of Scotland and harebell are the two you will hear most often. And yes, it does grow in northern climates all around the world. Here's a queen's cup. You will see this elegant member of the lily family in many places on the forest floor as you hike. After it blooms, the plant forms a bright blue single berry, which is why it is called blue bead lily. To find foam flower on the forest floor, look for the small maple-like leaf and the tiny white flowers that look like a sprinkling of stars brightening the deepest shade. Now come over to the sunny side of the garden. Meet Cascade penstemon. We've found penstemon to be one of the hardiest native flowers for use at Holden. There are so many species of penstemon in Washington that only a trained botanist could keep track of them all. Since I'm an amateur, I call this species Holden penstemon, since it's the one you most often see near the village. If you climb the hillsides, you might see penstemon fruticosus. Notice that though the leaves of the different species are very different, the penstemon flower is similar for all the species. Even though this small-flowered penstemon is much smaller than the other penstemons you've seen, it still has those typical penstemon flowers, this time in bright blue. Watch for this little flower on all the trails going out from the village. Another plant that likes the sun is our wild rose. They can grow in the deep shade of the forest, too. They look just like your single garden roses, but in charming miniature. Here's a plant that loves the hot sun. It is our native coral bell, called Pokerwichera or alum root. You can see this plant happily blooming on the rocks above Lake Chelan at 10 Mile Falls or on the trail above Heart Lake. This is my original parent plant, just before I planted it here in this garden. Many native wildflowers are too delicate to grow in our gardens. If you hike the Honeymoon Heights Trail in spring or early summer, you might find a calypso orchid, also called fairy slipper. It's so small that you have to lay down to see it. This rare flower is so sensitive, it can die if the flower is picked or the plant is stepped on or disturbed. It requires old-growth forest to survive. There is a larger relative of the fairy slipper called the lady slipper. I have never seen this on Holden's trails since it grows in the forest at lower elevations. It is slow-growing too, but larger and a little more robust than the tiny fairy slipper. Growing the hardier native flowers in Holden's gardens makes sense. It's our best stewardship of creation. Most wildflowers are perennials and come up every year. Flowers which are native to our Glacier Peak and Wenatchee National Forest are adapted to our own climate, like this Mariposa lily. Because native plants are so well adapted, they need less water and have fewer diseases than garden flowers. People come from all over the world to visit Holden. They come to see what makes this village and valley so unique, not what they can see and experience at home. When we grow our native flowers, plants, and trees, we're supporting our native insect, bird, and animal populations as well. These mule deer browse on native vegetation. Native plants are what our native species need for food and shelter. This Cassin finch eats native seeds and makes its nest in the forests that surround Holden. Everything in our ecosystem is interrelated. This fritillary butterfly needs our native violet species on which its caterpillars must feed. This is called its host plant. Each species of butterfly has its own specific host plant, a flower, a shrub, or a tree. If it cannot find its host plant, it cannot reproduce. The tiny blue butterflies that we see in the village need species of blue lupin on which to lay their eggs. If there's no lupin in the village, these butterflies can visit our garden flowers for nectar, but they cannot stay. One species of blue butterfly has already become extinct because its lupin meadows were destroyed. We see so many of our swallowtail butterflies at Holden because they lay their eggs on trees. If you want to start a native flower garden back home, you're in luck. There are native plant nurseries in every state now. Contact your local chapter of the Native Plant Society for information on what will grow in your area and how to care for it. Be sure the plants you obtain are nursery grown like this camas, not taken from the wild. We must not deplete our fragile wild areas. Native plant nurseries have the technology to grow hundreds of beautiful native wildflowers and supply you with young plants or seeds. Holden's native shooting star needs a specialized bog-like environment and won't grow in my garden at home, but my native plant nursery had this beautiful shooting star that is local to my area. This pasque flower will only grow in alpine settings, but the South Dakota pasque flower is a close relative and does well in my lowland garden. In spring of 1999, our Chelan Ranger District personnel visited Holden, studied the plants of the village, and brought us a recommendation to begin removing aggressive non-native plants from our lawns and gardens and replace them with our natives. You might ask, why all the fuss? What's wrong with non-native plants anyway? Let me start from the beginning. Our North American continent has been isolated for eons. The plant, insect, and animal populations developed into self-contained ecosystems. Hundreds of checks and balances keep each plant, insect, or animal population in control. In a self-contained ecosystem, everything is in perfect balance. Native fauna feeds on native flora. A complex biology is present in the soil itself, which keeps plant populations stable. And predators, seasons, weather, and even the occasional forest fire all play a part in a totally interdependent environment. But as we know from the abundant ground squirrel population in the village, this balance can be upset. When settlers came from the old world to the new, they brought their favorite plants with them. Some of them stayed under cultivation, but many escaped into the wild, crowding out our unique native plants. These non-native plants that are dangerous to our ecosystems are classified as noxious weeds by our state. Each state publishes a noxious weed list of those plants most dangerous to their ecology. Carol is holding a beautiful bouquet of non-native flowers that are classified as noxious weeds. You'd be surprised how many of them are favorite garden plants. But we have to remember how close Holden lies to our wilderness boundary and how devastating it would be to lose our unique flora to non-native plants that spread so rapidly because they have none of the biological controls that our natives have. This forest glade northeast of Holden looks so idyllic, like those I wandered as a child, but it has been invaded by knapweed, a nondescript scrubby plant from Eurasia. It has begun to choke out our beautiful native lupin and sunflowers. Knapweed is a terrible problem in all of eastern Washington, Idaho, and Montana. Knapweed is now at Chelan, Fields Point, and Lucerne, and we must watch for it constantly at Holden. After the Forest Service recommendation, we began pulling oxeye daisies. Wes Preeb came out and said, "Why are you pulling all the daisies? They're so beautiful and cheer up the village." I explained, "Don't worry, Wes. We're not going to pull all the daisies, just the ones that are dangerous for our environment here, the kind that will choke out our native wildflowers." I explained to Wes that most of Holden's garden flowers are safe and will not spread into the wild. The Shasta daisies, the peonies, all our beautiful iris, the roses, daylilies, and many others are well-behaved garden flowers and will be here for all to enjoy. Volunteers, gardeners, and staff are all working on the noxious weed problem. The ironic thing about noxious weeds is that they do best in disturbed ground, which means they follow our roads and trails into the wilderness. And once they start, the effort to control them is enormous. The plant we are worried about most is butter and eggs. This noxious weed is from Asia and spreads by underground runners and chokes out everything in its path. It has already entered the wilderness on the Holden Lake Trail. It is very hard to control. So please don't bring your favorite flowers from home to plant in our gardens. We're studying the situation carefully here. A plant you admire in your own garden might be too aggressive to be here, so close to the wilderness. There are other reasons, too. These Colorado columbine and Mexican coral bells are lovely, but I won't be bringing them to Holden. They're too closely related to our native species and would hybridize with the local population. So let's hike up to Holden Lake and see what native flora and fauna we can find. Before we go, let me remind you of some important things. Always check out at the hike house before you go. Make sure you have water, food, protective clothing, and a first aid kit. Never hike alone. Stay on the trails while you hike. When you stop, rest on the trail and set your pack where it won't crush the native vegetation. I'm sure you've been told not to pick the flowers. We have to make sure our enthusiasm for nature isn't the very thing that destroys it. Don't be tempted to dig them either. Besides being against the law, most natives will not survive if disturbed, and nursery-grown starts adapt easier to your garden. Our first stop is to see the white bog orchid. This unique orchid grows in only a few places, and we're fortunate to see it so close to the village. Unfortunately, being so close to the village, butter and eggs and oxeye daisies are here too. So let's pull some of them and put them in this bag here. Our garbologist will burn the noxious weeds to keep them from coming up again in the compost. The bright orange flower next to the orchid is our native orange agaricus. This bog is so amazing with all these orchids. Look, there is our native pale tiger swallowtail butterfly nectaring on that orchid right in the middle of the bog. Well, we better keep hiking if we want to get to the lake. Here's a tiger lily. It takes many years for a tiger lily to reach this size. All our native lilies are threatened by cucumber mosaic virus, which is carried by Asian lilies like the stargazer or other plants like vinca. Avoiding the introduction of plant diseases is another reason to grow our own natives here for Holden's gardens. If you've come to Holden in the spring or early summer, you may have seen the lovely dogwood trees blooming as you rode up on the bus. Now look down at the path for this moist spot by the little stream. The dogwood family has both a tree and this little ground-growing flower in it. This is Canadian dogwood, also called bunchberry, after the cluster of bright red berries that follow the flower. Take a drink of water before we start climbing. We've just seen one of our smallest wildflowers. Here is one of our largest. This cow parsnip is taller than my husband. The cow parsnip's botanical name is Herculaneum, named after the mythological hero. Shh, there's a blue grouse. Grouse spend most of their time on the ground, and if we're still, we can watch it undisturbed. Here in the shade of this streamlet is a good place to rest for a moment. God has planted us a beautiful spot in the shade for our refreshment. Do you recognize any of these native flowers? Little streamlets like this one are good places to look for moisture-loving native plants. This is one of our yellow monkey flowers. Look at the shape of the flowers. The face of the flower must have reminded the early settlers of little monkeys. Here is a larger variety called Crimson Monkey Flower, or Lewis Monkey Flower, named after Meriwether Lewis. It's easy to see why the explorer was so captivated with these stunning plants that crowd around streams. I hope those that I've grown and planted in the village continue to do well. You will have to look under these leaves to see the papery flower of the fairy bell. If you look at the leaves and stem, you can see it resembles the twisted stalk family. Out in the sun again, you can see the majestic fireweed. Native Americans had many uses for this plant, which is high in vitamin C. It's useful to the ecosystem as well. The seeds float on the wind, touching down in avalanche swaths or forests that have been burned. It is often one of the first plants to bring life back to damaged areas. You won't miss the vibrant scarlet gilia if you pass one on the trail. Its bright flowers have inspired many colorful names, like firecracker flower. Here's a shy little plant that loves the shade. Jacob's ladder gets its name from the Bible story, since the leaves are arranged like rungs of a ladder. The soft blue flowers are a welcome sight. This happy little bird is our mountain chickadee. Birds are more often heard than seen in the forest, and their songs help them find each other, too. Your local Audubon Society can help you learn to identify birds in the field. Now we're starting up the switchbacks. It's so important that you hike the switchbacks as they are laid out. Never, ever take a shortcut down or up. Cutting the switchbacks has terrible consequences. This eroded hillside was once covered with Indian paintbrush, lupin, and shrubs. Once the vegetation is killed by trampling, the hillside is washed away too. The entire hillside can then wash out, and our trail would be gone. Remember, plants grow by the inch, but they die by the foot. Our Forest Service personnel, conservation organizations like the WTA, and many volunteers work to maintain safe trails for us to use. Please do your part by using the trails respectfully. We have an expression, hug the hill as you hike. This means stay close to the hillside and away from the outer edge of the trail where it can break away. Do you recognize this plant now that you've seen it in the wild? That's right, it's penstemon. In Native American legends, Indian paintbrush was a gift from the Great Spirit to an artistic young brave. It is a gift indeed. Paintbrush comes in many colors, from magenta to red to orange, and even yellow or white. The colored part of the flower are not petals at all, but really modified leaves. They're called bracts. Enthusiastic botanists soon learned that paintbrush cannot be transplanted. This is because its roots grow into the roots of a nearby plant, and if this close association is broken, the paintbrush will die. Paintbrush can grow next to many different plants. Here it is with desert parsley. There are many species of desert parsley in Washington. The one that grows on these hot, dry rocks on the Holden and Heart Lake trails is one of the largest and showiest. Many plants that grow in harsh environments have very specific requirements. Our Luisia columbania only grows on these rocky cliffs or in rocky areas. Botanists who specialize in Luisia culture must mimic these harsh mountain conditions to succeed in growing them. Please walk with care around these unusual plants. Not so particular, but just as fascinating, is this little succulent. Its habit of happily growing around the jumble of mountain stones has given it the name of stone crop. Our steep mountain climb is over, and at last we're coming to those beautiful meadows near Holden Lake. Lupin is king of the high country. There are several species of lupin here, and they're all recognizable by those distinctive palmate leaves and the beautiful blue spires. And guess who is growing right next to the lupin? Paintbrush, of course. At last we've reached the lake. Take a moment to appreciate all the magnificence of creation. These hikers arrived here before us and are having their lunch. I'm so happy to see that they're being so conscious of the fragile environment here. See how they're sitting on a rock and they have their lunch and packs right on the trail? Let's follow their good example while we have our lunch. Because the growing season is short and the environment is so harsh at this altitude, alpine plants like this pink heather grow very slowly. This and other beloved plants, like our delicious huckleberries, are easily damaged or killed by trampling. So please tread lightly in the wilderness. Let's walk around the lake to the meadow on the other side. The bright yellow glacier lily blooms as the snows retreat. With energy from the sun stored in its bulb, the rapidly growing shoot actually produces enough heat to melt a hole in the surrounding snow. When I see them, Matthew 6 comes to mind. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Here's a plant I've been hoping to find. This is our native shooting star. These water-loving plants are growing right on the Holden Lake shore. Get close to see these lovely little flowers in detail. There is much rich lore surrounding our native plants. See the tiny blue flower at the base of this paintbrush? It is our native Veronica, also called Speedwell. Speedwell means, God be with you. Saint Veronica was said to have wiped Christ's fevered brow with the healing balm of this plant on the road to Calvary. You often find Veronica surrounded by a crowd of larger meadow flowers where her quiet beauty can bring you a moment of peace and joy. Just as the legend says, she stepped from the angry crowd to minister for a brief moment to our Lord. You must climb to the highest heights to see our western passiflower. It was so named because it often blooms at Easter. The passiflower leaps into bloom as the snow retreats, robed in the purest white with a golden crown of stamens. Never on this earth have I seen a more beautiful portrayal of Christ's victory over death. We have been to the mountain, and as we head back down toward the village, see with new eyes all the rich and varied beauty that God has so lavishly set before us. And if we are good stewards of His creation, it will still be here for our future generations to see.